Today I've chosen another message on light. In the past, I've spoken about light in a more scientific sense, as well as in relation to SAD, seasonal affective disorder. This time, we'll take a new look at an old topic with a view to understanding a bit more clearly the difference between light, as we know it in our physical lives, and the phenomenon that is spiritual light. An alternative title for this sermon might have been Poking Holes in the Darkness. I'm sure everyone is familiar with the works of Robert Louis Stevenson, especially the quintessential adventure story, Treasure Island. Stevenson was a sickly child born in the cold and damp of November in the 19th century city of Edinburgh, Scotland. He suffered throughout his childhood from bronchial infections. Yes, they were around way back then. And was often confined to his nursery. His father and grandfather had both been lighthouse keepers, so naturally Stevenson was fascinated with the many qualities of light. One night, he called his nurse to come to the window and watch as a lamplighter worked his way along the street below. As Stevenson phrased it, poking holes in the darkness. We could almost take that as one of our Christian responsibilities, to poke holes in the darkness of this world. One of the things I suppose I haven't really looked into before is exactly what is that light that we are supposed to let shine for the world to see. Yes, we know that we are the lights in this world. We are to let our light shine. We are not to hold our, or not to hide our light, but to put it up high so all can see and not stumble in the darkness. We read in Matthew 5:14 to 16, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Verse 16, "In the same way," just like that lamp that's up there on the stand, "let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven." Underneath all that is a question. How do we generate that light? And recently I've come to understand that we, as human beings, are incapable of generating light. The light is a spiritual entity, which we can only reflect as it comes to us. It is never our own light. Without Christ living in us, we can never have light inside us. Interestingly, we read in Ephesians 5, verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." In verse 9, "For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Notice, it doesn't say we were in darkness. It says we were darkness. To be darkness is a whole different meaning from being in a dark place. What this says is that before we were called by the Holy Spirit, our state of being was only darkness. But now we are light in the Lord, not by our own power, but by the power of the Spirit of God living in us. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, we read, For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. No matter who we are, where or how we were raised, how good we might have thought we had been, without God making his light shine in our hearts, we are darkness. Often light can be translated as understanding or knowledge. Throughout history, well, let's say from the time of the flood, when everything was reset. The path of civilization, and thus of man, has always been on an upward trajectory. There have been periods of severe darkness, such as during the Crusades, the Inquisition, and the Black Plague. But overall, the discoveries and the achievements of humanity have always been higher than the preceding stage. Recently, I read something that I thought was really interesting. I'm not saying this is actual fact, but to my mind, it was possible and could explain how man can always go above and beyond, no matter how great the previous achievement. The article was called "The Fifth Reality." I don't know if anyone else here has heard about it, but it talked about how since the beginning of creation, and we have no idea how long ago that might have been, we have been constantly moving through a series of realities, according to this writer, whose name is Mellon Benedict. The first reality was the Big Bang. And the Big Bang doesn't have to shake your faith in the creation story. In the beginning, God. Without God, there could not have been a Big Bang in any case. It's like the age-old question. If a tree falls in a forest and there's nobody around to hear it, does it still make a noise? If creation started with the Big Bang, who's to know? Sometimes I think we see the Big Bang as something outside the creation story. But can we say for sure that "let there be light" didn't happen with a really big bang? It would have been before there was any other thing. It came out of absolutely nothing save for God. The second reality would have been the formation of the atoms and other small particles which go to make up everything we know. Again, this would have had to have been designed and orchestrated by an all-supreme creator. This reality would have covered creation, as we read in the book of Genesis. Man himself would have also been a part of this second reality. The third reality is the 3D world we see all around us, the things man has created from the resources made available to him. Tables, chairs, everything composed of atoms and nanoparticles that take up space in the area around us. The fourth reality is the time continuum and the development of man's thought processes, which continually reach higher and higher, to the point that man can now build and send rocket ships out into space. And a new height has been reached with this new James Webb Space Telescope, recently launched, which leaves the Hubble Telescope, the very best in technology until recently, way behind in space dust. The unfortunate thing about the fourth reality is that man's higher thoughts have as much capacity for evil as they do for good. Now, the fifth reality seems this is something new, something we're just waking up to. And while I was researching, I found that over the last few years, a whole industry has opened up around this. It is supposedly a place where people are beginning to experience incredible mind power, to the point where they're able to manifest their thoughts, as in thinking about a rose, and then it appears. There are all kinds of programs out there to help you build on your unused mental power. There have always been stories of people who seem able to see future events clearly before they occur, or to feel the hurt or loss of someone they love who is in a different location. This fifth reality seems to show that above average mind power is available to many more people than we had ever realized. Whether this is really something new or another stage in man's development remains to be seen. The thing to remember here is that reality cannot be nailed down. It is fluid, and with every second that passes, reality changes. Whether these five dimensions of reality are repeating stages throughout history or something brand new can only be determined by those who follow after us and can catalog any differences. Throughout all of history, the power of prayer and the Christian example has been a guiding force for the good man has been able to achieve on the earth. It has always been a great privilege and an honor to take part in the work of poking holes in the darkness. Getting back to the beginning, one of the first things created was light. Think about that. We have to believe that at that point, time was not a factor. In Genesis 1, verses 1 to 4, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Think about that for a second. It was not this small, precise, round, blue dot. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now think about that for a second. What was the source of the light? Remember, this was not the creation of the sun. That happened on what we know as the fourth day. It was the creation of light, a separate creation, to poke a hole in the prevailing darkness. And in verse 4, God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. So what is light in a general sense? The basic definition of light is something that makes vision possible. The sensation aroused by the stimulation of the visual receptors, the rods and cones inside our eyes. Light, or visible light, is electromagnetic radiation within the portion of the electromagnetic spectrum that is perceived by the human eye. We've probably all taken a crystal and hung it in the sunlight to separate the spectrum into the seven familiar colors, from red to indigo. Light is a wave, but unlike the other waves we are familiar with, such as sound, air, or water, light does not need a medium to travel through. It can move even in empty space, unlike sound waves. Light is a primary tool for perceiving the world. Remember, that was why light was created first, and interacting with it for many organisms. Light from the sun warms the earth, drives global weather patterns, and initiates the life-sustaining process of photosynthesis, which allows plants to convert light energy into chemical energy, which can then benefit other organisms. When we stop and think about it, light has played a major role in every discovery related to a deeper understanding of the universe. Whether we're talking about atoms, the stars, quantum mechanics, quarks, black holes, sunspots, we would be totally in the dark, pardon the pun, about all these things if we didn't first have light to draw attention to them. There's a great parallel here. The physical creation mirrors the spiritual creation. Just as light had to be the very first thing created so that the material earth available to work with, which was completely covered with water, was made visible. So it is with us. We are darkness until he transforms us into his light. And what is that light? In John 1, 4 and 5, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Here we find that it was Christ's life that is the light. In John 3:19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. John 8, verse 12, again attributed to Jesus himself. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. All the way back in Genesis 6, verse 5, we see the need for that life, that light, to come into the darkness of man's wickedness. Verse 5 of Genesis 6, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. When we look at light, we must also balance that against what we know about darkness. Genesis 1:5. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. When you say the words day and night, doesn't each one evoke a different feeling? Somehow night seems to be more threatening. In 2 Samuel 22:29, you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, in the latter half of the verse, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Again, darkness is equated with evil. In 2 Peter 1:19, and we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and we will do well to pay attention to it, as it is a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Here, Peter is admonishing Christians scattered throughout the Roman world to keep their eyes on the scriptures, the light in the dark world around them. And in chapter 2, verse 9, a caution against false teachers. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. 1 John 1, 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Which brings us to this strange situation that we find ourselves in right now. Yes, I realize most of us are getting pretty tired of this after 2 years. Life on planet Earth has gone into what can only be described as a strange, dark time. Never before has the economy of the whole globe been in a simultaneous shutdown. Never have there been whole cities in so many countries totally locked down because of an illness. Never has the whole world been told by our governments, firstly, then the medical profession, that we must cover our faces with masks and not get closer than 2 meters from each other. Travel has been severely restricted. The global supply chain is in a shambles. Businesses have been folding in unprecedented numbers due to restrictions on how many customers can frequent an establishment at any one time, or whether service industries can accommodate patrons at all. Some see this pandemic as natural evolution, bad timing. But most agree these are unheard of, unusual, dark, and dangerous times. This prolonged separation from friends and family can have very serious long-term repercussions for anyone suffering from a number of health issues, whether physical or mental. Folks, this is not the time for stoicism. If you need help, please reach out to someone. These are dark days we're in right now, but we all go through times of darkness in this physical life. We encounter death, personal loss, disasters, and hardships that come to everyone. As I talked about in my sermon on the grief that C.S. Lewis experienced at the passing of his wife. As we contemplate the wonders of the creation, we are continually awed by the incredible detail and precision evident in the interconnectedness and the order of every created thing. Even diseases follow an ordered pattern. Even if things seem chaotic, they are operating in a prescribed manner controlled by the laws that govern the universe. Even during these darkest moments, that light that comes from the Holy Spirit within us is still at work. Our strength and hope for a light to poke holes in the darkness comes only from that one true source of light, our Creator God.